I want to speak on a message by speaking on a heart of the God's own heart and what that truly means. Amen. Now, again, like this morning when I said the heart, many closed off and thought by themselves, oh, here we go again. Third, it's the heart message. Boring. I'm not going to preach the normal heart message. Are you guys with me? This is something well worth taking note of. If you have attended the service this morning, you'll understand the importance of the flip side of the coin. How do I develop a heart that is indeed after the heart of our Heavenly Father? How many of you can say, that is my desire? I don't know. I've spoken many times to Pastor Mino, and I said, I don't know what's wrong with people, because back in the day, you know, when prophet in the itinerary ministry, there was this hunger. Melissa, back in the day when, before church even started, there was this hunger in the team. I cannot explain it. It's like when prophet would go to Durban to preach for the conference, and you know, Pastor me and myself still working full time. Friday 4 p.m. we pack, we get up, and we drive through. We get the conference starting on a Saturday, going through to the Sunday, ending late on a Sunday evening. Drive back in the early hours of the morning. We get back home, get dressed, go to work. There was just this hunger. Monique, you remember, there was this hunger. And I'm finding myself looking for people with that hunger for God. That desperation. My prayer is this every time when I get up. I say, my God, my heart's desire is this, that I may walk with you faithfully and blameless every day of my life, that I may remain in perfect right standing with you. My God, and I pray that anything that will be a limitation to that, please bring it to revelation, that I may deal with it and get it out of the way, because I don't want anything in my life whatsoever that will ever limit you. I don't know. There's this hunger that is missing in the body of Christ, that I pray and that I fast for, that it will come back and be stirred up in God's people again. A fire that will spread, that where nothing will be able to keep you back. You will run with a fire, with an anticipation, with a desperation to see God's people saved. I don't know. To see a lost and dying broken world touched and changed through the transforming power of an almighty God. The thing is this, that God used people, and He needs a generation that can rise up and say, here I am, my God. As Isaiah had the privilege, the ability, I would rather want to use the word ability, to step into the meeting room of God, overhearing God speaking and having a meeting, saying, who shall we send? And He interrupted the meeting saying, my God, here I am. Send me. I am looking for a people that can stand in that position, that have the ability because of a hungry heart, that can step into the meeting room of God where you have a divine counsel and you can interrupt and say, my God, here I am. Use me. Here I am. Send me. I am ready. I am available. If you're going to wait until you reach leadership, if you're going to wait, I don't know if I should go there now. It is like this. Many people say, no, when we reach 30,000 rand a month, then we'll have children. Then we're ready. You will never be ready for a child. I can guarantee you that. There is nothing that can prepare you for that moment. It is the greatest blessing, but it is the greatest system shock. No. Faith, trust. I'm not saying make irresponsible decisions. Don't take my words out of context. Use wisdom, of course. But people want to put these limits and predefine God. And I know what many are waiting for before they will go out. I don't know what many are waiting for before they will cast. I don't even know. Many people are waiting for things that must first come into place. Then I will. No, the time is now. The harvest is plentiful. And God is waiting for people that can say, here I am, my God. Here I am. Ready or not, here I come. Come on, what are you waiting for? 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 The place of influence is where you have dominion right now, meaning in your workplace. Start there. Don't start here. For goodness sake, this is Prophet's house. So let me just put things in context. There's house rules. We don't just pray for one another. No one prophesies over any other one unless it's been submitted to a leader. Can I have an amen? How it's getting quiet. Because we have what's known as parking lot prophets. And they will wait after the service, after they've had this overstimulated emotional experience, and then said, I have a word for you. The Bible says, know those who labor among you. Please understand that there is something known as the ministry of the laying on of hands. There is indeed a place where we can minister, or I can pray, anyone can pray for anyone. Let me pray for you for work. Let me pray for you for healing. That's not importation. But then there is a ministry of laying on of hands, where it's done with intent, that when I'm going to lay hands, there's importation that is about to take place. Greatest level of importation is through prophecy. Be careful who prophesies. Listen, this is your responsibility as Encounter Church members, that when any random individual comes up to you and say, I've got a word for you, you say, stop. Go submit it to my leader. That's your responsibility. I hope someone is listening. Because if I see you prophesy over someone and you are not a leader, it will look like a rugby scrum. Because I will protect the people of this church. Am I saying that you cannot receive a word from God? No. You have the spirit of prophecy, so you can prophesy. But it must be submitted, because a word given out of season and out of time can destroy someone's life. There is more to it than just giving a word. And we have to be sensitive about this thing. Are you guys with me? This is not at all what I wanted to preach. I'm just flowing tonight. Is that okay? Although there is purpose in it. I'm testing something. Amen. Our hearts after God's own hearts. Put it on the screen for me. Let's get into a scripture. The Bible says, Acts chapter 13, verse 22, New King James. And it says, and when he had removed him, speaking about King Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, listen to that. See, we read this and we miss it. I don't know if you guys are seeing that. This is God speaking here. Are you guys with me? He, God, raised up for them David as king, to whom also he, God, testified. Listen, this is powerful. Gave testimony. Imagine when God starts to testify about you. What dimension must I move in for God to start to testify about me? Now, when it comes to God, when things are all about the hearts, and when God now looks at your heart at this moment, what will He testify about? Now it's quiet. What will he testify about? What is going on in that heart in this night that needs a touch from God, that needs to shift, that needs to change? I'm speaking about the evil treasure. Are you guys with me? That needs to come out. That needs to be dealt with. I don't know, whatever offense, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment there might be going on. But when God looks at that heart right now, what will He testify about? Are you guys with me? And He's saying this, and this is God's testimony. I just love this. I have found David's, and I prophesy this over you on this night. As we're getting into this word, this is a word that I release over your life, that God will find you, that He will locate you, and that when He finds you, that your heart will be pure and your hands will be clean, and that the testimony that will follow will leave those around you in a state of awe, that they will listen and look at you and say, how can this be possible? Are you guys with me? He's saying that I have found David, meaning that he must have gone onto a searching rampage, searching heart to heart to heart. Who can I raise up as the next king? And he searched the hearts of his people until he came to David. And he says, finally, I have found one, the one that I need. And this one that I need is the one that have a heart that is after my own. What a title to carry. God Himself gave David that title. How many of you can say, Pastor Martin, that is a title that I would like, a banner that I would like to have over my head constantly, waving by the breath of the Spirit over my head, that says that I am indeed a son or a daughter that have a heart that is after the heart of our Heavenly Father. What a title. I can tell you that Satan is afraid of that title. Imagine the ability to connect with the heart of the Father, where you can place your spiritual ear against His chest. And with every heartbeat, it is revelation going out. And you're so perfectly in tune and in sync with that sound that you stand as a vessel through whom the heart of the Father breaks forth into a language. And you can no longer hold it back. With stammering lips, you find His word flowing forth from your innermost being like a rushing river of living water. I have many times stated how many times I would stand here and preach, and my spirit man will be so in sync that it will just throw out His words. My carnal mind will think, wow, I don't even know this stuff. Holy Spirit inspired words. Imagine that. May you get to that dimension where you can indeed hear the hearts of the Father. If you cannot, how can you have a heart that is after His own? If you don't even know what touches His heart, if you don't even know what moves Him, if you don't even know what is His desires, how can you even begin to understand His heart and have a heart that is like His? My God, my God, may you lift me up. May you make this word alive to me. May you rend over, open the heavens, and bring me to a place where I may know your heart. Do you want to know how can you know the heart of the Father? Learn His ways. If you know His ways, you will know His heart. And then by faith, you step out and you start to apply those things, His ways, you live it. Are you guys with me? Listen, we cannot help but to think, how is it possible that God could call David a man after His own heart? Especially after all of the mistakes and messes. Are you guys with me? How is it possible? Come on, we can't help but to think, after all of the things that he have done wrong, after all of the wrong decisions that this man does, it sounds familiar. I don't know, maybe it's just me. After all of the wrong decisions that he have made in life, having messed up many times badly. It's not your minor mess up. There's moments that he have messed up badly. Are you guys with me? The man committed adultery. And he even had the man killed of the woman he committed it with. And even in that moment, there was a lot of deception and lying going on. He had the man of this woman carry the letter of his own death sentence. A lot of innocent blood was shed through this man's life. Are you guys with me? Now please, the reason why God chose to record these events in scripture was not to expose David, but it was rather so that we can learn valuable principles on what it truly means to develop our hearts that is after the hearts of our Father that is in heaven. Are you guys with me? Listen, if we look at David in a natural sense and with a natural perception, none of this will make sense. And how many of us do not step into that same thing where we look at those around us, but it's from a natural sense. It is from a natural and with a natural perception. And we so easily judge and think even without, don't think just because you have not said it, that it's not in your heart. And for a moment, how many times have you not thought, oh, Dean, come on now. Are you guys with me? To understand this, we must look at him the way that God looked at him. For that fact, we must look at anyone the way that God looks at them. Can you say, sitting here in this night, that you have that ability to look at someone and see them the way that God sees them? Because the type of people that God calls is not what you would expect. Are you guys with me? Can I have an amen to that? I'm not going to shout and scream. And there's something short that I want to get out. And I'm still testing something and we're almost there. Put on the screen from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26. NIV. Put on for me the NIV, please. Perfect. And it says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I am called. Never forget where you come from. Are you guys with me? It says, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by what? Human standards. I don't know about you, but that's a relief for me. There is something that happens with your IQ when the Spirit of God gets involved that I cannot explain. Are you guys with me? That when people listen to you, well, they will say, wow, with what authority does this one speak? And you'll think by yourself afterwards, listen, if you must see me before I come to this pulpit, you'll think something does not add up here. and I've got nothing prepared for tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. I just hope things just work out. But the moment that I step up, the Spirit of God comes. Because of a surrendered heart. And the words that will follow, I can guarantee you, is not my own. I promise you that. Are you guys with me? Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Thank God. Not many were of noble birth. So I want to state this. I want you to see this. These are the type of people that God calls. Not many of you were of noble birth. Which means that it does not matter whether you have grown up in a house of poverty. That will not define you. It does not matter whether your parents could not pay for your education. It shall not define you, because God does not look at things the way that men looks at it. He looks at the heart. And what He wants is a heart that is surrendered. He wants a heart that understands His ways. He wants a heart that wants the same things that He wants. Not many were influential. I want to tell you this though. That the moment He calls you and the moment you come onto salvation is the moment that you are called. The moment that you've cried out, Lord Jesus, I need You. You are my Lord and You're my God. You have made the decision with that to step into Your calling and Your purpose. And at that moment, you became royalty. You are not defined by the house that you have grown up in. You are not defined in the region that you've grown up in. You are not defined by the words spoken by your family. You are not defined by those who have said that you will add up to nothing. You will never be nothing. Look at your family. Look at what you're coming from. And many people have developed this mindset that will say, but my God, my parents have nothing. They're not leaders. They've managed nothing in their life. And because of DNA passed on and what I've inherited, I will be nothing. It is a lie of the enemy. There is a divine DNA imparted into you the moment that you have received salvation and got baptized by the Holy Spirit of the living God. At that moment, you became royalty. You became influential. You became wisdom and of noble birth. You want to be of noble birth? Be born again. It's easy. Be born again. These are the type of people that God looks at. You say that I cannot. Who am I? With all of my messes and with all of my mistakes, to even think that I can go out and preach the gospel. Who am I? That God will even consider this wretched man that I am. I cannot even speak, Lord. Sounds familiar. Who am I? Devil have lied to many, and many have adjusted their very way of living. Accepting things that were never yours to accept. This thing is about to shift and change. You are of noble birth. The moment that you received salvation, you became influential. The moment you received salvation, you say that never me, I cannot, who am I? Will I ever be able to be like that? Don't compare yourself. God has placed a message on the inside of each and every one of you. I'm saying on the inside of each and every one of you sitting here right now, even connecting over live stream, there is a message that God has given you that I cannot bring. It's not been given to me. It has been given to you, and you must bring it forth. And I want to tell you the severity of bringing forth that message, because if you cannot find that message, an entire generation can go lost. and will be dependent on the words that you will speak. You think that not me, not me. Yes, God has located you. He has found you. And He has said that I have looked at the hearts. I do not look at your past. I do not look at the things that you have done wrong. I look at the hearts. And when I look at your heart, I see a heart that is desperate to know me. When I look at your heart, I see a heart that has been set to understanding my ways. And when I look at your heart, I see a heart that wants to do my work. When I look at your heart, I see a heart that wants to glorify me through your life. And that is what I want. Yes, you've been found, wanted. You've been located. If you've ever felt like that and thought that I'm inadequate, that qualifies you to be used by God. You've been qualified by the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? I hope that I'm speaking to someone tonight. A heart after the heart of God. May we develop. Listen, I want to say this again. God looks at the hearts. Are you guys with me? So how was David's heart? And I'm on page one still. How was David's heart? That God would call him a man after his own heart. The Lord knew that David was sensitive to his presence. And that David many a times in the past allowed him to shape him and to mold him. And that there is no reason why he would not do the same. His heart was tested and tried. Allow your heart to go through a testing and trial process. Are you guys with me? It's not easy. Because the stuff that then comes up, it's not easy dealing with the things of the hearts. Amen. David lived a surrendered life, dedicated to God. Are you guys with me? And then this is the part that many overlook about David, and this is why God called him this. He lived a life of repentance. The man was quick to repent. Are you guys with me? What is true repentance? I think many people miss this part. Many people repent like this. It's like a child that had been caught doing something wrong. And then they cry, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please don't punish me. I won't do it ever again. Are you guys with me? The only reason why they act like that is because they've been caught. If they were not caught, would they have acted the same way? So true repentance, therefore, is not an emotional thing at all. It is you making a conscious decision that I no longer want to go this way and do these things. It is you making a conscious, even before you mess up, saying that I will no longer have this as part of my life. I cut this thing off, turn my back on it, and I choose to walk the other way. That is true repentance. It's not an emotional thing at all. You weeping and crying does not mean that that is a moment of true repentance. I'm sorry, it's not. Because for many, it's exactly the same as a child that has been caught. The only reason why you're doing it is because you've been caught. Come on now. The proof is, can you repent before you fall into the thing? That will be true. Are you guys with me? Say true repentance. Now, here's the thing. And now, this is not a hallelujah message. It's fine. Have all of David's mistakes gone unnoticed? No. there were some severe consequences to some of the stuff that he did. A child died in the process. Did God cause it? That's the thing. Did God cause it? No. He acted wrongly, and because of his actions, he loosened certain consequences. It's not God's fault. Some people are cutting off God's hands by simply going against his word. And you're loosening consequences over your own life. Are you guys with me? Amen. Say our hearts after his hearts. But through it all, his heart stayed on God. The man was quick to repent. Now please, when I say this, I'm not giving him a license to sin. Because many people will develop the mindset, okay, I can just mess up now and then I'll just repent later. The moment that that becomes your perception, you're starting to mess with God's grace. And the Bible is very clear on this, and saying that God is not, will not be mocked. It will only go as far. And then God will bring you down. Are you guys with me? I'm not saying that God tolerates sin or even agrees with it. It's not at all what I'm saying. Are you guys with me? You cannot have the attitude that I can just sin now and repent later. That's really messing with God's grace. God knows your heart and he will know if it's sincere or not. Amen. Say divine grace. Divine grace is not a license to sin. Amen. It is a means through what we receive a pure heart. Divine grace. Say grace. Okay, now this is what I wanted to get into actually. What are the characteristics of having a heart after God's own heart? And I'm just going to give you the points because of time. A heart after God's own heart passionately seeks God's presence. Passionately seeks God's presence. If you have ever read the Psalms, you'll understand that this was a man, David, was a man that passionately sought after God's presence. Come on now. That's why I've said earlier on, I'm looking for people that can get hungry for his presence again, that can have a zeal, a passion, and a desire that when I get into prayer, that there's a desire to encounter him, that when I engage with the word of God, that there is a passion, there is a desire to have an encounter where he, as David, have cried out that my soul thirsts for you. And then my heart hungers after you, my God. I don't know if someone is sitting in this life. Where has that passion and that hunger of, listen, I don't know. When was the last time when you wept just reading the Bible? When was the last time when you drove in your car and suddenly his presence would come in and you find yourself weeping as you're having an encounter with the Lord? Listen, that will happen the moment when there is a hunger, when there is a zeal, when there is a passion for his presence. Are you guys with me? Passionately seeking God's presence. Amen. Psalm chapter 63 verse 1 and 2, New King James, saying, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." David had spiritual hunger. Are you guys with me? He truly wanted to know God. He loved God with all of his heart and he sought after his presence every single day. Amen. Let me carry on before I get completely off. Look at this. Let me put this on the screen for you. Psalm chapter 119 verse 164. New King James. And I want you to see it. 119, 119 verse 164. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Wow. How many times? How many of you even get up in the morning and start your day with praise? Come on, let's be honest. Like when your eyes open up, the first thing that comes out is, God, I love you. Thank you for this new day. You are awesome. You are truly amazing. Come on now. The guy didn't just do it once. 2 times. 7 times a day, I will praise you. Listen, this is a heart of hunger. I'm speaking about a place where you become praise. It's no longer an action that you take. You become praise. Everything and with every fiber of your being, you become an expression of praising God. Are you guys with me? Okay, key number 2, because there's a lot. A heart after God's own heart passionately worships God. Now, this is the one that I really want to touch on. And I'm speaking about true worship. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, New King James, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There is something that happens to a worshiper. I'm speaking about those who can worship Him in spirit and in truth. There is a type of a heart that comes before God as a sweet-smelling aroma that is so pleasing unto Him that He cannot help but to respond. Those who can worship in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? In spirit and in truth. And truth does not mean like in Scripture's truth. It means with all sincerity of heart. Are you guys with me? Listen, worship is a secret weapon that have been given the body of Christ. How many of you have ever seen worship as a weapon? It is a secret weapon that have been given the body of Christ. Worship will restore intimacy. Worship restores fellowship. Worship brings us into oneness with God. Worship causes us to connect with God on a higher level. Come on, you've heard me say this many times before, that the Greek word for worship is proskuneo. It means to fall with your face prostrate to the ground. It means to kiss the face of God. That word kiss speaks of intimacy, which means that you cannot worship God without intimacy. True worship requires intimacy. Are you guys with me? It means affection. You cannot worship God without showing affection. Cannot be a monotonous, mechanical thing. There is something, listen, that if you want to attract the presence of God, if you want to attract His mind, His thoughts, learn how to worship. There is something that happens to a worshiper. Worship is the thing that will give you access without permission. Come on. What does that mean? Many are not qualified to yet move in a certain dimension. Yet worship will push you through dimensions and place you in levels that was meant for years later. Worship. I'm not speaking about singing along with a song. Worship, true worship, originates from the hearts. Are you guys with me? You've heard me many times, and I want to tell you the story and to bring you into remembrance. There was this woman who cried out after Jesus. He had not yet died. This woman was a Gentile, saying, Jesus, Lord, Master, please help. Please help. Violently screaming after Him, please help, for my daughter is possessed with demons. Please help. I need your help. The woman was so violent in her approach that the disciples said, Lord, please just quiet this woman. It's too much for us. And the Lord Jesus turned around and he walked to her and he said, listen, I have not come except for the lost sheep of Israel. Are you guys with me? He called the woman a dog. Go read it. But then this woman did something that was so profound that it was found worthy to be recorded in Scripture. As the Bible says, that this woman fell to the ground and worshiped him. At that very moment, Jesus stopped, turned around and faced this woman, having communication, saying, Father, we have got a situation on hands. What is it, my son? Well, I found myself a worshiper. And the father said, well, then you better respond. He says, but I have not yet died. He says that, listen, my word says that if you find yourself a worshiper, you must respond. This woman found access without permission. Blood was not yet shed. Jesus have not yet died. Yet a Gentile woman have found a way into the heart of the Father by one act of worship. Do not underestimate what your worship can accomplish. Here we have Philip. Revival is breaking out. The Bible records. People are being healed. Demons are being casted out. It is a massive meeting taking place. And on the other side of the desert, there's a eunuch. This man was a man of authority who was set in place over the treasury of Queen Sheba. And he was on his way to go and worship in Jerusalem. That was where the presence of God was found. In those days, it was locational. The presence of God was only in Jerusalem. So at the appointed time, everyone had to go to Jerusalem to worship. Are you guys with me? And the man traveled more than 3,000 miles to go and worship at Jerusalem. But now it was customary in those days that a eunuch was not allowed in the congregation of those who were known as the righteous. Which means that this man traveled 3,000 miles just to stand on the outside of the temple and worship. He was not allowed in the presence of the righteous. And after he worshipped, he went back home as usual. But in the meantime, Jesus had died. He did not know it. The man would have come back the following year, the same time, following customary law, to go and worship at Jerusalem, because that is where the presence was found. He did not know that Jesus died. He did not know that blood was shed. He did not know that the veil was torn. Say, worshiper. And God appeared unto Philip saying, I need you somewhere else. He removed him from the midst of a revival that was breaking out as Philip was transported by the Spirit to the far end of the desert to go meet one man. But this one man was a worshiper. Busy reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip appeared unto this man saying, what are you reading? Reading the book of Isaiah. Do you understand what you're reading? Now, how can I understand if no one teach me? God removed him from where revival was breaking out, lives being touched and changed, to go and meet one man, a worshiper. So that this one man can have an encounter with him. So that the gospel and Philip preached the gospel to this man. And the man was baptized. And his life was changed. If that did not happen, he would have gone back the same time, same. And the presence is no longer locational. The presence now is where you are at. You have become the location of God's presence. You have become the very location of heaven. Listen, there is something that happens to a true worshiper. You become a carrier of His glory. You become a carrier of the anointing. You become a carrier of the fire of God. You become a carrier of His supernatural power. I don't know if someone is hearing this. Listen, there is something that happens to someone that can worship in spirit and in truth. Say worship. You cannot worship God without showing affection Worship is the only thing that God cannot give himself. And that is your purpose and your soul role upon this earth. That is to worship him. Are you guys with me? Say worship. Point number three, a heart after God's own heart is obedient and submissive. Because of time, I'm just going to run through the points. Point number four, such a heart is quick to repent of sin. I've explained that before. Point number five, has the quality of innocence. Say innocence. Point number six, has the attitude of a servant. Point number seven, constantly seeks to please God. Point number eight, has a heart that loves God deeply. Those are the characteristics of a heart that is after God's own heart. Did you all get that? No, I know it was fast. Did you all get it? Amen. God uses man. My heart was changed in a moment when a man filled with the power and the fire of God laid hands on me, and I was aligned to have an encounter. My heart was changed in a moment. Are you guys with me? Impartation is a very real thing. We've had an impartation session yesterday. It was really good. It is a real thing. Are you guys with me? How many of you sitting here can say that I have a desire for a change of hearts? Come on. For a renewed and steadfast spirit, that I desire a heart that is after his own heart. It requires a longing. I've explained this yesterday to the guys at the impartation session. If you want impartation to take place, learn how to create a longing atmosphere. It requires a desire for that impartation to take place. A longing. And that is what I've done. Are you guys with me? It is someone that says that I truly have a hunger and a desire. I will go to whatever extent for that impartation to take place. I don't know if someone is hearing me. I'm saying a desire. There is a desire and there is a hunger. Man, I've told you that very first deliverance that we did, that there was this guy that ran, prophets busy preaching. And this guy ran to the front, crying out. That's hunger. That's desperation to whatever extent. How hungry are you for the change of hearts? Imagine if 10 people could run to the front right now because of a hunger. You see, you guys are missing it. I just stated that this man was so hungry that he ran. He was so desperate. When God looks at your heart, he will know if it's sincere or not for that impartation to take place. Are you guys with me? So what are you waiting for? This is a holy moment that God is about to pour out his spirit afresh upon you. And there is impartation that will take place. There will be a change of hearts. And the things that have held you back will no longer hold you back from this moment forward. You will be turned into the other man. I'm speaking about the spiritual man. I hope that I have got people with me in this night that can say, I am hungry. I am hungry. I am hungry. Lord, here I am. Touch my heart, change my heart, transform me. May your transforming power come upon me in this night. My God, may you lift me up by your spirit. May there be a change of hearts. Become hungry. Become hungry.